message this morning. It'd be hot. Let's move it, Raj. Let's see how you're doing. Ready? Come on. Come on. Oh, Miami Heat. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. That's pretty hot, buddy. Miami Heat this week, so. All you Dallas lovers. Anyway, Miami Heat won this week. But that's not our message today. All right? I'm just on ESPN. I'm sorry. I got confused. Today, we're going to talk about the holiness of God. Seriously. The holiness of God. And we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 6. If you have your Bible, want to go there. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 6. I will remind you that later tomorrow afternoon, you can get on our website. Every Monday, later on Monday, you can get on our website and hit the PowerPoint that will appear on your front screen. It takes a couple of 3 minutes for it to download, and you can do exactly what Roger does. You can push and hit each by just hitting an arrow, and you can see every screen that you'll see today. Every scripture is already there for you. Okay? So you can do that, and you can study a little bit deeper. And it's a great opportunity. We got people up north that do it, and we're hearing of some really neat things that people are doing by using some of the messages. And you can do it. The holiness of God, Isaiah chapter 6 this morning, along with a lot of other scriptures. It was the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah says, I saw also the Lord. He was sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. A lot like the song that we just sang this morning. Amen? Right out of Isaiah chapter 6. This is what Isaiah saw. The prophet Isaiah. It was Isaiah that wrote about the coming of Jesus Christ, especially in Isaiah chapter 53. He said that he would be despised. He would be rejected of men. He would be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Hundreds of years before, 800 years at least before Jesus Christ came, Isaiah the prophet wrote about Jesus Christ's coming. And he knew what it was to talk about being despised, to being rejected, to being one who suffers. Isaiah knew about this. Why? Because a prophet's life was one of solitude. A prophet's life was often lived in caves. They were hated and despised, the prophets of God, because they spoke oracles, they spoke judgments, and they spoke blessings from God. And they were killed. They were hunted down like dogs. They often met with God in the desert. Their clothing, many times, was their own nakedness. That was their wardrobe, being a prophet. And so, this is who we're talking about today. It was this man, Isaiah. One of the only times in Scripture you'll see anything like you'll see today. You talk about something that's hot. This is hot. The holiness of God. Isaiah sees the Lord. Let's look at it. Isaiah was a major prophet. Can you say that with me? Isaiah was a major prophet. He was not a major prophet because he was some big rascal. He was a major prophet because of the size of his book, the size of his prophecy. If you take your Bible and look, you'll see it's the largest prophecy in all the Bible. So he is a major prophet. He's the major of the major prophets. So Isaiah. Isaiah had access to the royal court, however. He was able to talk to kings. Matter of fact, he was a recognized statesman. God used him to prophesy to four kings. And here they are. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So he was this kind of prophet, a mighty prophet of God. Let's keep moving. What are we going to see? What made Isaiah so unusual, though, was not his big book. It was not the fact that he prophesied to different kings. It was his call to the ministry. There's nothing like him in all the Bible, his call to the ministry. What we'll see this morning in Isaiah chapter 6, and we can learn from it. We're not here just to look at a story today. We're here to be changed and here to see something from God. And this will change your heart. It's worked on my heart all week. This is really a hot situation. Let's keep looking. Back to verse 1. It was the year that who died? Say it with me. King Uzziah died. So, King Uzziah died. Well, who was King Uzziah? Let's look at it. Uzziah. He died in the 8th century B.C. He became king when he was only 16 years old. He ruled or reigned in Jerusalem for 52 years. I need you to say that with me. 52 years. And sometimes we can think, big deal, 52 years, so what? They did rule a long time. This is so unusual that this happened. And I just want you to feel the gravity of how long he reigned. Pop it up. Let's go back 52 years in the United States of America and look at those who were president, just to give you an idea. We got to go all the way back to Eisenhower. Say it with me if you know. Here we go. Eisenhower. Come on. Kennedy. Here we go. Johnson, Booth, Nixon, Ford, Carter, good, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, are 52 years. This is how long that man reigned. So it's unbelievable. So no doubt the Bible says it very clearly. It was the year that King Uzziah died, because that was a big year, friend. Don't have a king like this very often. Keep moving, Rod. He started out as a great king. Let's look at it. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 26, verses 3 and 4. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. He reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. So he was a great king. Look at something else about him. God made Uzziah to prosper. Hang in there with me. Look at 2 Chronicles 26, 5 and 6. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. He went forth, he warred against the Philistines, he broke down the wall of Gath, etc. Look at some other verses. Verse 9, he built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the turning of the wall. He fortified them. Other things. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war in bands. And it was a huge number that went. Keep reading. Keep moving. Verse 13, and under their hand was an army, 300,000, 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Look at what this man did. He made in Jerusalem, say it with me, engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was what?
Strong.
So Uzziah was a great king. He compared himself. He was compared to David and Solomon, unbelievable king. But can you say that with me? But come on, help me now. But that's a big but, by the way. But okay, excuse me. But here's what happened. Look what happened to this man. He was a great king, but he got full of himself. Can't you imagine? Guess what? If you did all he did, don't you think you could pull yourself to his side? Oh, no, I'd be home. Well, you haven't said. Right. So he got full of himself. Let's see what he did. But when he was strong, that's just another word for when he's full of himself. His heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. He took it upon himself to go into the temple and act like he was a priest. I love this guy. And Azariah the priest went in after him. And with fourscore priests of the Lord, and they were valiant men. These weren't sissy preachers, by the way. And they withstood Uzziah the king. They said unto him, it appertaineth not unto the Uzziah to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron. Last time I checked, you ain't a son of Aaron. That are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor, for the Lord God. He was so strong, he was so full of himself, that he thought he could transgress right into the temple, and I'll just offer me some incense, cause what? Cause I'm the king. I do what I want. Okay? What happened? Uzziah was angry. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was mad, when the priest, leprosy rose up in his face and his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Let me tell you something. We serve a holy God, and you don't want to mess with him. Are you hearing me today?
Amen.
I'm telling you. I don't care who you are. And this was a great king, and he was a mighty king, and he was a good man. Just because you're good doesn't mean you can't screw up, mess up, and do something absolutely stupid. And he did, and it cost him. And Azariah, the chief priest, all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. They thrust him from out of there. Yea, himself, he hasted to go out because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah, the king, was a leper until the day of his what? Death. And he dwelt in several houses. That doesn't mean he dwelt in several houses. The house was separated. Being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. So it was the year that who died? King Uzziah died. Was he a great king, yes or no? Sure he was. Did he get too big for his britches? Sure he did. Did it cost him? Uh-huh. All right, let's keep moving. And by the way, did you feel the heat of that story, Seth? Did you feel the heat rise? Whoa, baby! Feel the heat. Tell you what, you mess with God, you will get burned, guaranteed. Guaranteed it's going to happen. Keep moving. By the way, here's what leprosy looks like. Take your fingers and just eat them right off the bones. Horrible situation. Leprosy is a huge problem in our world today. There was a crisis in the kingdom because of Uzziah's death, and Roger, we're picking up speed. The king was dead, but the King of Kings was alive and well. Can you say that with me? The king was dead, but the King of Kings was alive and well. Uzziah died. There's mourning in the kingdom. Isaiah's even upset about it. He was a great king. And man, if you rule for 52 years, for crying out loud, there's going to be some major shakeups and some major problems in the kingdom. And so Isaiah finds himself in the temple. Let's keep moving, Raj. Back to verse 1. Here we go. Help me now. In the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. This is what Isaiah saw. Back that verse up one other time, Raj. I want you to look at it. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw who? The what? The Lord. Look at the spelling. It's big L, little O, little R, little D. Many times in the Bible, you'll see it big L, big O, big R, big D. Is that a mistake? Are people confused? Don't they know how to use the alphabet? No, it's exactly correct. Here you see it's little O, R, D, big L. What does that mean? Well, let's look at it. Both of these words mean something different. The way it appears in this passage of Scripture, in this verse, is this. It means Adonai. It means Sovereign One. It is His title. This verse is saying, I saw the Lord. I saw the Sovereign One. It was in the year that King Uzziah died that I really saw the King. That's who Jesus Christ is. He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. And that's why some of you and some folks may be listening to this on radio later, you think there's other ways up to heaven. There is no other way. Jesus Christ is the Sovereign One. There is no other Sovereign One. Do you think Uzziah figured that out, son? You think he figured out who was king? Huh? Yeah. Sure he did. It's important that we figure this out. This is who Isaiah saw. He said, I was mourning for the king. I was in the temple, but I saw the Sovereign One. I saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Other times in your Bible it would be big L, big O, big R, big D. What does that mean? It's the name of God. It's the sacred name of God. Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, but when Jews translate it, they leave the vowels out, Y-H-W-H, because it's such a sacred name for God, they want it where you can't even pronounce it. Does that make sense? That's how holy God is to them. So this is the sacred name of God. That's not the name we see that appears here, is it? So, it's that Sovereign One. He is Adonai, He is Lord. That's who Isaiah saw. Here's just an example of both of them in Psalm 8:1. Lord, O Lord, O Yahweh, O Sacred One, our Lord, our what? Our Sovereign King. How excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Just I thought we'd throw that in there today so you can understand that. It makes sense. This is who Isaiah saw. He saw the real King. Let's keep moving. The face of God. The face of God. Can anyone see the face of God and live according to the Bible? Yes or no?
No.
Let's look at it. The face of God. Moses. You remember the story of Moses? Exodus 33. I know we're all over the place, but hang in here. We might end up somewhere. Exodus 33. And he said, beseech thee, show me your glory. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. God speaking. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I will show mercy to whom I'll show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face. Say it with me. For there shall no man see me and live. And behold, the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I'll put thee in a cleft of the rock. And I'll cover thee with my hand when I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts. But my face shall not be seen. And that's what happened. And what happened to Moses? He lit up, didn't he, baby? So, he lit up like a candle, didn't he? Matter of fact, he had to put a veil on his face. He was so bright. And that was just seeing the hinder parts of God. No man can see the face of God and live. Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. He didn't see his face, but he saw his glory. And his glory, seeing the glory of God, changed him. Do you want to be changed, sir? I want to be changed. I want to be changed. In my life, I've seen the glory of God. Okay? I haven't been in a situation like Isaiah, but many times God has made himself so real to me and broke me and had me flat on the floor and showed me my sin and that I was full of myself and I can see how great he is. And this is what happens in this story. Let's keep looking. Also, the face of God. We see it in Numbers 6:24. This is what Jews say. Even a lot of Christian churches close their services like this. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his what? Face shine upon you. This is a great blessing and a great benediction. We also see it in the New Testament. We see it as a promise. One of my favorite verses. Beloved, now we're the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when he comes again, we shall see him. We shall be like him. For we shall what? See him as he is. We can't do that right now. Did you know that? We're not going to see him, but one day he's coming again, and we're going to see him. Hallelujah. Here's what Jesus said in the Beatitudes. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what?
See God.
You might wonder, why haven't I seen his glory? Why doesn't God show up in my life? Maybe it's because you don't have a pure heart. Maybe it's because you're playing a game. I know that's ugly preaching. Maybe it's because you're just showing up. You're never going to see God like that. You've got to have a pure heart. Isaiah had a pure heart. He wanted to see him. God's face is as the sun that shines in its strength. In the book of Revelation, look at these scriptures. John's cast on the Isle of Patmos. It's on the Lord's day. And he hears a voice, the voice of many waters, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, you write in a book, etc. Keep moving. Verse 16, he had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance, say that with me, was as the sun that shines in its strength. You know when the sun shines in its strength? When did they tell you to be real careful when you go out for a suntan? Somebody tell me. Between 10 and 2. Especially between 10 and 2. Now here in Florida, that's 8 in the morning to 6 at night. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, usually 10 to 2. Got to watch. That's when the sun is shining in its greatest strength. You want to get a glimpse of God? I hate to tell you this because it's going to hurt your eyeballs. If you want to see just a glimpse of the glory of God, you go stare at the sun between 10 and 2. It's a horrible thing to do. It'll burn your eyeballs right out of your head. I don't recommend doing it. But that's not even... You still aren't seeing his glory when you look at that. That's the kind of God we have. That's some hot, serious stuff. Okay? Verse 17. Very interesting. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as what? Dead! Boom. That's what happened. And you're going to see something like that in the story this morning. Let's keep moving, right? Let's go back to where we were. Boom. Isaiah 6:2. So he was the key or King Uzziah died. Y'all with me so far? You're not fading fast, I hope. Lord help us. Here we go. He saw the Lord seated on the throne, exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple with glory. That's what he saw. Amen? He saw it. Now let's see what happens in verse 2. Above it, the throne, stood the seraphims, created angelic beings. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. So the throne of God, these angelic creatures, are covering their face and they're covering their feet. Why? Because God is God and they are not. You understand that? Say. These created angelic beings, even though they're greater than we seem to be, and majestic and unusual, who can explain angels and such a thing? I'll tell you something, friend. God shows up, they cover their face, they cover their feet. Amen? Because we have a holy God. That's who God is. He is a holy God. Why do they do it? Because they're in the presence of God. Do you remember another story in the Bible where something happened like this? Back to Moses. Remember him? And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a what? Bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush wasn't consumed. Verse 3, and Moses said, I'll turn aside to see this great sight. Why, the bush is not burnt.
Verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called on him out of the midst of the bush and said this, Moses, Moses. He said, here am I. He said, draw not nigh hither. Put off your what? Shoes from off your feet, for the place wherein you stand is what? Holy ground. Hey, angels, men, it don't make any difference. You come into the presence of God, His holiness, you better be covering up something or losing something. Amen? And that's what happened here. The holiness of God. Keep moving. Verse 3. We're getting somewhere. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. We need to look at this. Holy, holy, holy. Say that with me. Come on, a few times. Holy, holy, holy. Let's tell them this morning. Holy, holy, holy. One more time. Holy, holy, holy. Interesting. Why three times? It's all about emphasis. We don't talk like that. We don't talk like that. You pretty, pretty, pretty. You know what? You know. I could think of other things, but I'm going to hush. Okay? We just don't talk like that. That's not the way we talk. And in the English language, we don't repeat things three times. Here's how we emphasize things. We put an exclamation point. Holy! Or we bold, holy. Or we underline it, holy. Or we put in a quotation mark, holy. Get the gist? But not so in the Hebrew. When you see this, keep looking. When you see this, it's for emphasis. We think of it often with Jesus. What did Jesus? Many times He said this. Verily what? Verily. Or truly, truly. He was emphasizing. This is true, this is true. Wake up, wake up. Listen, listen. Okay? But in the Bible, the only attribute of God that's elevated to the third degree is His holiness. Can y'all say that with me? You need to know this. In the Bible, the only attribute of God that's elevated to the third degree is His what? Holiness. That's it. It is not. Love, love, love. Is God love? Yes or no? Sure He is. It's not mercy, mercy, mercy. Is God full of mercy? Yes or no? Sure He is. It's not wrath, wrath, wrath. Is God a God of judgment and wrath? Yes or no? Sure He is. But it's holy, holy, holy. You getting something? So, it's holy, holy, holy. It's there for emphasis. That is who God is. God is an all-consuming fire. And that is who God is. God is holy. Jesus said when you pray like this. Well, I'm just talking to the man upstairs. No, you're not. Are you hearing me today? I thought you were a cool church, Pastor Clark, and we could dress down. Yeah, but you don't address God like that. You know what I'm saying? Dressing down or being yourself is being who you are and being real. But don't be yourself to the point that you don't have an awe and a reverence for God. Because you're going to end up with leprosy on your face. Oh, you might not get it down here, but you're going to get it one day. Don't do that. We come to Him as a holy God. He is a holy, holy, holy God. That's who He is. That's how we talk about Him. Jesus said, when you pray, our Father, which art in heaven. He said, what? Say it with me. Hallowed be your name. That means holy. You can't read hallowed without thinking, whoa, can you? Whoa. That's who God is. Verse 4. Let's see what happens in the story. So here He is. What's going to happen? Y'all ready to go home? We're going to find out. Come on, let's find out. Here we go. The post of the door of the temple, it moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Wow. Isaiah's getting a glimpse of God, isn't he? Unbelievable. Let's keep looking. Sort of reminds me of a volcano. I mean, those things are scary, ain't they? So, they're nice to go look at when you see the smoke. Look at the smoke coming out the top. But buddy, you don't want to be around that sucker when she starts spewing, do you? Just covers up the molten lava, the heat, the shaking, the earthquaking. It's unbelievable. Let me say something to you. When God shows up, things shake. Can you say that with me? When God shows up, things shake. I'm just going to stop for just a second. I don't want our church to be a church that's business as usual. I want God to show up. If you're here today, and I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but that's life. Listen, but if you're like, well, I don't like saying an amen, and I don't like that music, and I don't like, you know, we didn't do it this way. Let me tell you something. When God shows up, things start to shake. That's why I don't mind raising my voice. That's why I don't mind sweating like a pig, because this is real deal for me. It's my life, for crying out loud. Are you hearing me today? Say,
amen.
When I come to church, I want to be animated. I pray, God, work in me, speak in me, use me. If I can rattle somebody, use me today, God. That's what I want. I want God to show up. If you see Clark getting up here, and I don't know how long a man can preach like this. I might not make it many years. I have no idea. But the point is this. I'm not trying to put other preachers down. I'm just telling you what I want. I want to be alive. I want to be lit up. I want God to move in me. That doesn't mean I'm anything. God, all He has is sinners to use. Did you know that? We've all sinned. But I tell you what, if you'll lay yourself out before Him, He will start to work in you. If you'll work in me, He'll work in anybody in this building. I'll tell you that right now. Oh, I want that in my life. I don't want this place to be boring. If we ever get to the place where we're boring, God probably left. But I don't want it to be some manufactured mess either, where I got to teach you to battle. And teach you to say, and try to teach you to do things like that. That's insanity, in my opinion. Okay? I'm not saying putting down the gift of tongues, but I am saying this. If you depend on Gary Clark to teach you to mutter little in crazy things, then you're barking up the wrong tree. Okay? Listen, but I also, so I don't want it crazy, but at the same time, friend, I want you to feel the liberty of God in this place. Amen? Well, I like it when people raise their hand, and you're probably going to find some other place.
Amen.
But you don't have to raise your hand. Why can't people be people and be moved as the Spirit of God moves them, for crying out loud? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. We're trying to be ugly, but when God shows up, things shake. I believe that. I love coming here on Sunday. And I tell you what, I ain't had a Sunday yet that I come here that I didn't feel God show up. God should. Not quite like this, but this is this. But God does show up, things shake. Let's keep moving. Our God is a consuming fire. Can you say that? Our God is a consuming fire. Nothing hotter than Him. And I don't have time to go into it, but whether it's the burning bush, there's fire. When Jesus died on the cross, there was a lightning and thundering and earthquaking. There's some serious moving going on. When it comes to our judgments, when our works are going to be judged, say it with me if you know it. They're judged so as by what? Fire. Okay? Even hell itself. You might say, I don't understand hell. Well, our God's a consuming fire. If you get a glimpse of His glory and His holiness, you'll have a better understanding of how hot hell is. I don't understand it either. But I know God is a God of holiness and a God of wrath. And that's part of it. Fire. It'd be hot. Isaiah's response, and here's where we're headed. So what do you do, man? What would you do, say? What would you do if you saw all this? Hey, good buddy. How you doing? What would you do? Let's see what he did. By the way, Isaiah the prophet, a mighty man of God, a clean, godly, good man. He said, woe is me! I am undone! I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Wow. That's a lot of stuff right there in that verse. Let's look at it. Number one. Say it with me. Woe is me. That's what happens when you see the glory of God. That's what happens when you experience the presence and the power of God. You don't leave going, well, I'm better than you are. You don't leave with, well, we did it this way. You don't leave with that kind of attitude. You leave with, you know, and I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. You leave with attitude, I feel like a bunch of crap. When you see Him and you see yourself, anybody ever felt that way other than me? That's how you feel. And that's how you feel. Woe is me. Woe don't mean slow down, dude. Here's what woe means. Pop it up. Prophets pronounced blessings and judgments from God. They were called oracles. A woe, keep moving. A woe was a curse. They pronounced curses on cities and nations and people. Prophets did that from God. And when he saw the Lord, he pronounced a judgment on himself. When he saw the Lord, but he didn't start judging everybody else, did he? Say, when he saw the Lord, he judged himself. It was unbelievable. He called down the curse of God upon his head. Curse me, God! Curse me! When he saw God, when he saw his glory. We got a mighty God, don't we? You might think, well, I don't like a God like, let me tell you something. When you get a glimpse of a God like this, you can charge hell with a water pistol. You see what I'm saying? My God can do all things. When you get a glimpse of his glory, you might say, well, I want the nice little, well, that's fine. You ain't going to get anything done. You know what I'm saying? This kind of God, let me tell you something. The God that you and I serve can move mountains. Hallelujah. This kind of God that Isaiah saw, he said, woe is me. Then he said this. Say that with me. I am undone. What does that mean? Look at it. The word means to come apart. Undone. It means to unravel. It means to disintegrate. Poof. Okay? Keep moving. The word integrity is the opposite of the word disintegrity or to disintegrate. Integrity means to have your life together in a wholesome and honest way. Okay? So he said, I'm undone. He looked at himself and he said, I've come to pieces. Keep looking. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Don't necessarily mean to be funny, but if it'll stick with you, I appreciate it. Okay, I like that. If it'll stick with you. What happened to Isaiah? Patsy Cline. I fall to pieces. That's what happened to this man. He fell to pieces. That's what happens when you see God. That's what happens when you experience the glory of God and you realize His holiness. It's amazing how that you got your act together so good, you start to go, I ain't got my act together at all. And that's progress. Amen? Say. That's progress. Let's keep looking. Isaiah was a person of integrity, but when he got a glimpse of God, his self-esteem was shattered. I believe that you ought not go around moaning and groaning. I think you ought to feel good as much as possible about yourself. But I definitely don't think you need to feel so good about yourself like Uzziah did. Getting full of yourself. And Isaiah, boy, his self-esteem was shattered when he saw the king. Let's keep looking. Here's what we do often, and we need to be careful. We dare not make ourselves of the number. We should not compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves. Are not what? Wise. When I look at you and say, you know, hey, I'm good as you, I'm better than you. I look out in this world and I say, listen, that is foolish, foolish, foolish. You should look to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every time you get a glimpse, you're going to come unglued. And you're going to make progress. And you're going to say, woe is me, and I am undone. When he measured himself by the standard of God's holiness, the great prophet became unglued. That's what happened to him. Let's keep looking. Then he said this, I am a man of unclean lips. I have a dirty mouth. See, Isaiah spoke prophecies for God. Can you imagine God telling you things and you speaking them for Him? Say, that might put a real emphasis on your lips, wouldn't it? Amen? Here's what the deal is, though. When Isaiah saw the Lord, pop it up, Raj. When he saw the king in a flash, he saw his sin in a new and radical way. When he saw the king, he saw his sin in a flash, in a new and radical way. This is a mighty man of God. But he saw, I've got a dirty mouth. I have sinned, Lord. It is me. I'm the one that needs help. Unbelievable. That's hot right there. Did you know that? That'll change your life. That'll change your life. This message today, not because I'm speaking, because it's a powerful part of the Word of God. It changed your life. I'd be changed, man. Quit looking at other people, judging other people. Hit the ground, man. Look to Him. You'll see Him. You'll find Him. He says, if you'll seek me, you'll find me. You can find God. I got an email this last week. And I don't know the lady. If you're here, I'd love to see you at the service. She wrote and she said, Pastor Clark, I found God at fellowship. Been looking for Him my whole life. She said, I came here, found Him. Found Him! Found Him! And she's tickled. She's just been lit up. Amen? And she's got God in her life and she knows the Lord and she's growing and it's unbelievable. And she just wanted to say thanks. Amen? You can find Him. For the first time, Isaiah understood who God was. And this was a man who had smarts when it came to God. For the first time, he understood who he was. Unless you seek the holiness of God and seek to see His glory, listen, you'll not know who He is and you're not going to know who you are. You might think you know who you are. You don't know who you are until you have been hit by that fire of God. That hot holiness, fire of God, His holiness. I'm not talking about something spooky. I'm talking about a quest, a journey where you seek Him through His Word. I want to say something else. I don't want to be ugly, but I'm going to say it anyway. Here we go. People that come up to me and say they've seen Jesus. I've seen Jesus. Well, you better than Moses, I guess. And you know what? Most people that ever told me something like that, they're sort of full of themselves. I'll know when you've seen Jesus, you'll come crawling on the floor. I know when you've seen Jesus, you'll start talking, my life, it's just come apart. How am I going here? You'll start coming and you'll say, I'm a sinner. I'm full of sin. I've got this wrong. I've got that. But that's when I know you've seen Jesus. Not by telling me some good story that'll fly on TV somewhere. This is the real deal. This is the Word of the living God. This is how it happens. I know that's a little ugly, especially for some of you who's come and told me that. But anyway, Isaiah 6. Here we go. Come on. The end of the story. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth. That was the dirty part, right? And he touched my lips. And he said, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. Hallelujah. You been there, say. You had a touch of God in your life before? Where you came to Him, you were broken, you went to pieces, hallelujah. And He touched you. And He forgave you. Isn't that great? I'm not talking about spooky, friend. I'm talking about being saved. I'm talking about being forgiven. I'm talking about being clean. Hallelujah. It can happen in your life. It happened in Isaiah's life. His sin was purged. He'd be high. Amen? What's this for? His sin was gone. That'd be cool. Look how pretty that is. Is that pretty or what? Friend, that's what you can feel when you come and seek the Lord and seek His glory and seek His holiness. And then you'll be willing to say anything and do anything. Lord, you take me, whatever it is. What you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Fine. Here's what's cool about seeing God's holiness in this story. And this is the end, believe it or not. Isaiah 6:8. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? Say it with me. Then said I, here am I. Send me. Now here's the beauty of this story. It's here am I, not here I am. Can you say that with me? Here am I, not here I am. Come on, help me here. Here am I, not here I am. Why? Here am I. It's about vocation. Isaiah was saying, I'm willing to work for you. I'm willing to work for you. Here am I. I am willing to work for you, God. There's something about seeing the holiness of God. You came crazy working on with that church. Well, just some of us have seen the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
We've seen the beauty of it. We've seen what He's done in our life. I'm not talking about seeing something spooky. I'm talking about seeing something real change in your life. That's why I serve Him. Amen? That's why I'm in the ministry. It ain't for the pay. Trust me, okay? It's for what He's done in my life. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it now in the lives of thousands of others over 22 years. Here am I. It's about vocation. It's not, here I am. Because that's about what?
Location.
You know what? That's telling God where you are. Guess what? Pop it up, Raj. God don't need MapQuest. He doesn't need that. He doesn't need you talking like that. Do you know what he needs? He needs you to say to him, here am I, not here I am. Now, he doesn't need that. He knows where you are. Okay? Here's what God needs of you, right here. God wants your life to be a quest of following and serving him. Can you say that? God wants your life to be a quest of following and serving him. I don't get it, this Christian thing. That's maybe how you're feeding it. But let me tell you, that's it right there. That's what God wants. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to get a glimpse of his holiness. And when you see his holiness, you're going to see your sinfulness. You're going to see how you really don't have your act together. You're going to see certain sins in your life. God's going to reveal them to you. It's going to happen. And that's going to put you on a path to serving him. Amen? Especially if you cry out to him and ask for that touch of God. That touch of God, that forgiveness of God. Humbling yourself before him. He will put you on a path that's going to be a great journey. The holiness of God. Last thing. It be hot. Amen? The holiness of God. Let's stand together. Thank you this morning for listening.